members, first of all, do we have? I don't know that we have any of those on, do we? It's 2 a.m. in Melbourne and about 11 p.m. for Hong Kong. So they may not be on.
Chuck, we are Rosemary Sinclair, who is in Australia, has sent her apologies. She's traveling and won't be on the call. And we have Edmund, who's in Hong Kong. We have Rafik, who's in Tokyo. So.
Oh, that's right, Rafik.
Yes.
I forgot that. Yeah. So we have several. Well, anyway, thanks. Now, is Edmund on? I didn't see Edmund.
Edmund's, yes.
So he joined. Okay,
yep.
Good. There I see it now. Okay. Well, welcome, especially to those of you that it's late at night or middle of the night. Appreciate you you doing that. Thank you very much. We'll start off with the roll call. Go ahead, Glenn.
I'll do that, Chuck. We have on the call Chuck Gomes, Caroline Greer, Edmund Chun, and Tim Ruiz for the Contracted Parties House. For the Non-Contracted Parties House and the Commercial Stakeholder Group, we have Zaid Jamil, Mike Rodenbach, Christina Rosette, David Taylor, Wolf Ulrich Knoben, and Jamie Wagner. For the Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group, we have Rafik Damak, Deborah Hughes, Wendy Seltzer, and we have apologies from Rosemary Sinclair. And from the Non-Contracted Parties House, the non-voting NCA is Andre Koleshnikov, who's on the call. And we have Han Chuan Li, who is our CCNSO observer. Have I left anybody out there?
You left me out, Glenn. Alan.
Oh, Alan, yes, sorry. I've seen you've just... you've just come on, as well as...
yeah, it's been on for a while, I think.
Oh. Yes, that's on the other side of the page.
Yes.
And David Taylor as well. For staff, we have...
This is Terry Davis. I'm also on.
Hi, Terry. Oh, yes, they've called you Gary David.
Gary David is why we didn't recognize you on the meeting view.
Oh.
Okay. Now, for staff, we have Denise Michel, Kurt Pritz, Margie Malam, Craig Schwartz, Marika Koenigs, Liz Gaster, Julie Headland, Rob Hogarth, and have I left off anybody?
Glenn, this is Olga. I don't recall.
Oh, sorry, yes, Olga. Yes, Olga is on, Olga. And we have two guests, David Maher and Jeff Newman. I think that's all. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you, Glenn, and welcome to David and Jeff as observers. They will be asked to participate when the, in the case of David, the STI agenda item comes up, and in the case under any other business on the request for a face-to-face meeting for the PDP working team. is when Jeff will be asked to participate as needed. Does anyone have a statement of interest to update? Hearing no one, we'll move on to agenda item 1-3, and that is to review or amend the agenda. Any suggested changes to the agenda? Then going to agenda item 1.4, it's just an information item. If you look at your agenda, you'll see that based on the new procedures for approving minutes, the November 28th meeting was minutes were approved. The 8th of October meeting minutes were approved on the 28th of November, the 28th October meeting minutes on the 27th of November, and the 23rd of November minutes were approved on the 8th of December. I don't think I saw any questions or comments on any of those minutes, so they were approved automatically according to the procedures. Because that's a new procedure, are there any questions or comments on that? Okay. Thank you. Going to item 2 on the agenda, then, the motion to approve the GNSO improvements recommendations for a constituency stakeholder group toolkit of services. There's a link there to that document. That has been out for a long time, and hopefully everybody has reviewed it within their respective groups. So I will ask if there's any discussion, any questions. Does anyone need a brief overview of that? Please speak up now. No discussion, no questions. There's no need to do an overview. Okay, that's great. Everybody's done their homework. I definitely appreciate that. Since I made the motion, I will go ahead and read it. It is on the GNSO Council Workspace page.
Excuse me, Stefan Van Gelder now joins. Thank you.
Welcome, Stefan.
Hello, everybody. Sorry I'm late.
We're on agenda item 2. The motion there is as follows. Whereas the Board Governance Committee report on GNSO improvements tasked ICANN staff with developing within 6 months in consultation with the GNSO Council a toolkit of basic services that would be made available to all constituencies. And then there's a reference to the report from the board. Whereas the ICANN board approved the BGC GNSO improvement recommendations on 26 June 2008 with the URL link there. Whereas in January 2009, the GNSO Council formed the Operations Steering Committee to develop recommendations to implement operational changes contained in the BGC report. Whereas the OSC established 3 work teams, including the GNSO Stakeholder Group and Constituency Operations Work Team, to take on the work of each of the 3 operational areas addressed in the BGC report recommendations. Whereas the GNSO Stakeholder Group and Constituency Operations Work Team developed and approved toolkit services recommendations for GNSO constituencies and stakeholder groups on 25 October 2009 and sent them to the OSC for review. Whereas the OSC accepted the work team's recommendations, whereas on 5 November the document was distributed to the council list and councilors were asked to forward the recommendations to their respective groups for review and comment as soon as possible with the tentative goal of council action in our December meeting. Whereas, the last one, okay, the implementation of the toolkit has process and budgetary implications. Resolve, the council approves the recommendations and directs staff to number 1, share the recommendations with the board, number 2, post the document on the GNSO webpage, 3, estimate the cost of services, 4, estimate what funds might be available, 5, prioritize the list of services in cooperation with the council, 6, develop specifications for providing the services, including requirements for their use and procedures for requesting them, and 7, notify applicable GNSO organizations of the services, specifications, and procedures for requesting them. Okay. Sorry for the length of that. That's the motion before us. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. Then we'll bring the motion to the table. Does anyone object to a voice vote on this motion? Okay, no objection. All in favor of this motion, please say aye.
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 If there's anyone who opposes it, would you please just state your name? Is there anyone who abstains? Please state your name. Okay, the motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. And thanks to all the people that did lots and lots of work to develop the recommendations. Going on then to item three, the Special Trademarks Issues Review Team report. We'll start off with and invite our guest, David Maher, to give a brief update in terms of that report. David.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. I sent around a brief report summarizing what the SDI had done. There was a substantial amount of consensus on a number of issues, and they're all detailed in Margie Milam's report, which is also, I think it's up on the web for everyone to look at. So real progress was made. At the same time, there are significant areas where there is still no consensus, and we did have minority reports from, I think, every stakeholder group and constituency that was involved. Still, the amount of consensus on various detailed areas of the rights protection mechanisms, I think, deserve the council's support. There's going to be a public, or the motion calls for a public comment period, which I think is essential because there are still a number of subjects in this rights protection area that need to be resolved. The business constituency in particular was very vocal that their principal concern of avoiding defensive registrations is not resolved by the present shape of the rights protection mechanism. And the registry stakeholder group, of which I'm chair, will also be filing comments on several subjects, including the costs and the some of the issues that come up from the technical details of implementing these proposals. Some of the proposals are theoretical, and the implementation remains to be worked out. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that anyone might have.
Any questions from anyone? For David.
I have a question. Mike Rodenbaugh.
Mike. Anybody else want in the queue?
Yes, Wolf.
Okay, Wolf. Gotcha. Anyone else?
Christina, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, and somebody can get in the queue later if you'd like. Mike, go ahead.
First, thanks very much, David, for all your effort in herding and leading this this working group on such a short time frame and coming to consensus on a lot of things. But you just mentioned there were some theoretical implementation details or some theoretical notions that are within the report, and I'm just wondering what exactly you're referring to.
Well, it mostly has to do with the URS. The various proposals to put registrations on hold. These are fine to say as a concept, but the protocols for doing that remain to be worked out.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mike and David. Wolf.
Yes, thank you, Chuck. My question is related also to the motion. Is that right now? Question for them?
Not yet. We'll talk about the motion once we get there. Is it something that you need to ask David with regard to?
Let me just briefly explain. This really comprehensive document. I went through, but I'm not, very familiar with all those details. So it's related to that because the board is asking, whether this suggests better and is better than the what staff suggested before. And I would like just briefly summarize, you know, what is really better than that what staff.
That's a very good question. I think that's appropriate to talk about that now. So I think your question, Wolf, if I can restate it, is and this is in the motion that the council accept this as a better proposal than what staff developed. So why is it? Why is it better? What are some of the things that make this better? And I'll turn that over to David to respond to. But I, if there are those who served on the STI group that would like to jump in and add to what David says, just let me know, and we will do that as well. David, you want to start?
Okay, I'll try. It gets into the details. The first is a fairly simple change of the name to Trademark Clearinghouse. This is on the subject of the clearinghouse itself. There was rough consensus on separation of the functions of the clearinghouse. Two different functions. One was validation of trademarks, and the other was serving as a database. There was consensus about using regional expertise and keeping the clearinghouse. Requiring segregation of data between that used for the URS and other functions that the clearinghouse might perform. There was unanimous consensus that the clearinghouse would have global effect, that trademarks from all over the world would be entered into it. The various other details where there was unanimous consensus that, for example, ICANN would accredit the service providers, and there would be an agreement with ICANN so that ICANN could enforce it. There was consensus that national and multinational, as an example, .eu marks would be included in the database. Common law rights of trademarks would be included only if they were validated by a court in some national jurisdiction. There was rough consensus on the mandatory use of the clearinghouse for pre-launch rights protection mechanisms. There was a rough consensus, and this was one of the disputed areas, that registries should have the option or should have discretion to decide whether to grant protection to all the trademarks. This is the issue of trademarks registered in jurisdictions where there's no substantive review. Then there was rough consensus that there could be additional voluntary uses of the clearinghouse. There was rough consensus that the database after the launch of a new GTLD was not necessarily required. There was broad consensus on a form of notice that would be used for the bringing the data to the attention of a registrant. Rough consensus that costs should be borne by the parties utilizing the services. And there, again, there's quite a bit of debate on that subject. Turning to the URS itself, unanimous consensus that the use of the URS should be required rights protection for all the new GTLDs, unanimous consensus on the elements of the complaint and some of the other details on that, unanimous consensus that notice to potential registrants should be email, fax, and postal mail certified. Various other details on the notice. Then there was unanimous consensus on applying an initial freeze to if a complaint is filed. There's some other details in that area. There was also unanimous consent on the answer format and the effect of filing an answer and what happens if there's a default. Unanimous consensus on the kind of evaluation that would be performed when a complaint is filed. Rough consensus on the area of remedies. One of the areas where there was lack of consensus was whether or not the successful URS claim would lead to a transfer of the name in question to the complainant. Then there was a lot of consensus on the form of appeals from a URS decision. So and I'm sorry to rush through that so quickly. If you read the report, the recommendations, you'll see that the charts are really quite clear. And in each case, those represent what the group believes are changes and improvements to the staff proposals that were made in response to the original IRT report. So I hope that's helpful in answering the question.
Wolf, do you have any follow-up questions for David?
Yes, thank you, David. So that was, you know, the last one which you mentioned, you know, that was for me the essential one. That means, you know, all this report, which is an answer to the board letter from October, I think, that must answer the question even more effective and implementable and must justify that. And I heard from your argument that is the case, and the group is of the opinion that this is really the case.
Would anyone on the who participated in the STI group like to add anything there?
Yes, it's Alan.
Alan?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
I think the real issue is that we went into this process with some vehement objections on the part of some of the parties and a very widespread in between the various parties as to where how we could address these things. And we ended up with essentially unanimous consent on many of the very contentious issues. That if you look at the URS, they had to do with due process, the details of how a complaint was handled, the effectively a definition of clear abuse, which we had never had before, safe harbors for registrants, all sorts of things where there were just absolute vetoes coming from various parties, and we came to closure on it. So although everyone didn't get what they wanted, in general, especially in the URS, we have something that people believe they can live with. And that makes it quite different from the staff proposal and somewhat different from the IRT. It's curious. In many cases, we went back to IRT-type recommendations, although tweaked them to fix what were perceived the problems in them.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Thank you.
And is there anyone else from the STI group that would like to comment on the question that Wolf raised? Okay. Thank you
sure,
very
Wendy.
Much. Wendy, go ahead.
I just wanted to express our group thanks to all of the participants from every constituency and stakeholder group and ALAC who were represented and participating in the discussion. And I think among all of those participants, we had a very significant degree of consensus.
Thank you, Wendy. My perception from the outside was that I was extremely impressed. Over the years, of course, and some of it justified, maybe well justified, the GNSO has been criticized for its deliberations, but I think this is a historical example of fabulous cooperation on the part of all parties, and so my compliments to everyone who made that happen. Thank you very much. Anyone else on the SDAI team like to comment?
Hi, okay. This is Zahid.
Zahid, go ahead.
Thank you. I was just wondering, I think this is a very important document, the report sent out by us. The work we're doing was fairly important. We all understood that, and the impact that it would have, especially in the new GTLD process. And also we noted that the board's interest in expediting this was very relevant. And I understand that the board won't be looking at any of this until probably now January. I also noted the minority reports may have come in a little later, and so I'm just curious and I'm just wondering how many of us have had time to actually discuss the final report in light of the minority reports with our various respective SGs and constituencies. And I just wanted to get a feel if anybody would like to sort of speak up and mention that. I'm just wondering. Thank you.
Thanks, Zahid. I'll respond for the registry stakeholder group. We actually had our regular biweekly meeting before the report was out, so we didn't discuss it there. But as soon as the report was out, it went out to, and the same thing with each minority report, as soon as it came out, it was distributed to the list, and comments were solicited. A subgroup of the registry stakeholder group that had been arranged in anticipation of this had a teleconference call and also lots of email exchanges. So recognizing the short time and the lateness of the report, there was pretty good vetting, I think, with this. The nice thing is that with as the motion proposes, that there's a 45-day comment period that will start immediately if the council approves the motion. There will be plenty more time for comment, and in fact, in the case of the registry stakeholder group, as David mentioned, a draft statement has already just about ready to put before the whole constituency for further discussion. So, and that would be submitted during the comment period. I don't know, Caroline or Edmund, you have anything to add to that?
No, Chuck, Caroline here. I think that's a very fair overview of what we did within our stakeholder group. And, you know, I, for one, think that each report got equal valuation, and I didn't see any concerns with the process that we followed.
Thank you. Are there other stakeholder group representatives that would like to talk, respond to Zahid's question?
Registrars.
Oh, Tim, you go ahead.
Okay. Tim, you want to speak? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that was one of the key issues, particularly for me, was making sure that we had an opportunity to see the completed minority reports before, and to be able to discuss them to some degree before we vote. And we were able to do that, and we had discussion of that amongst registrars on the list. And I think we feel comfortable with moving forward with the vote at this time.
And I think it's accurate that I know this was the case with regard to the registries, is that each stakeholder group was, and I think each constituency within stakeholder groups was represented on the STI group. And I from what I could see, at least on the registry side, there was good communication throughout the process. To keep members informed. Would another representative from a stakeholder group or constituency within a stakeholder group like to speak?
Chuck, this is Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
I would just tell you that we had pretty good coordination and communication throughout the process with our people from NCUC, who were heavily involved in a lot of these discussions. So people were pretty well aware of what was happening and had read through documents. We also had a very good and thorough meeting just last week, going over everything and reading through the documents carefully together, and also talked with our appointed counselors from the NCSG, and there seemed to be a pretty strong consensus that this was a really good process, and people were very pleased with the level of cooperation. So all in all, I think everybody's very happy.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah. Chuck, I can comment on it large.
Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah. We also had a support group that was put in place with a lot of ongoing discussion and interaction as we worked through the process. ALAC has formally approved supporting the report and our minority position. We have not had an opportunity yet to do any substantive discussion of the other minority reports, but we'll over the next month.
Thank you, Alan. And by the way, if any of I want to also welcome the nominating committee appointees to share any thoughts they have, if you like to. It's not required, but you're welcome to participate in response to Zahid's question. Anyone else want to speak to this?
Chuck, it's Christina. The IPC has obviously discussed it. I just want to remind you that I still am in the queue with a question.
Oh, okay.
I have not
forgotten that. We're
okay.
Still responding to Zahid was responding to Walt Wolf.
Okay.
And so I understand why it might get confusing at this point, but you're in the queue.
Great.
Thanks.
I wanted to confirm that I am too, Chuck. I raised my hand, but I don't know if that puts me in the queue or not.
Oh, I'm not. I wasn't on the site. I need to do that. I was on the motion page, so I'll flip over to that here if I can find it. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now I'm there. Thanks for reminding me of that, Tim. I appreciate that, and it looks like okay, wait a second. I'm looking at the Q chat. Bear with me while I let me ask Glenn, could you watch that Q for me on the
Adobe Connect?
Adobe Connect, so that I'm often distracted by running the meeting, and so probably to give. So I've got Tim. Is there anybody else on there besides Tim that I didn't see? Okay. All right. So what I have now, we're still. I think we're just about done with Zahid's request. Zahid, is that helpful?
I think that's very helpful, and it actually shows a lot of support for the motion that's about to come up. So I think it's very helpful. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, Zahid. And I think we've covered Wolf's question. So, Christina, you're up.
Sure. Thanks. I have two questions. One goes to David with regard to your summary. I had in my notes that you'd indicated that the group hadn't reached consensus on all points, and I wanted to make sure that I understood that correctly, and that I think you may have been, although this is why I'm asking, been referring to unanimous consensus, because there's no provision in the report that where for a particular item it says no consensus.
Oh, well, that's correct. It varied from unanimous consensus to some areas of what was described as rough consensus.
Okay. No, I just wanted to make sure I hadn't missed anything in one of the iterations. The second question has to do with the motion, and I'm not really quite sure who to direct it to, so I'll just throw it out there, and I think it may be a staff question. As I think everyone knows, I have been pushing hard for a public comment period on this report and asked about it in Seoul. In response to my question during the public forum, Peter said, no, there will be no public comment period. So I'm hoping I can get some clarification about whether we are able, simply by putting it in the motion, that there will be one, to create one. And if not, what is going to happen if we pass a motion saying we acknowledge there's going to be a public comment period when the board, in its most recent, albeit informal, statement, has said that there won't be one.
Who from staff would like to respond to that? So I get to appoint someone?
Hi, this is Denise. Can you hear me?
Thanks, yeah. Denise. Go ahead.
Yes, there will be a public comment period. We're expecting, if the council accepts this report today, we'll have it immediately posted for a 45-day public comment period. Not sure which comments from Peter you're referring to, but more recently, and we'll get to this later in the council agenda, Kurt will update you on the general schedule and plans for the applicant guidebook going forward. But we have included in this plan that the board has acknowledged that we will be posting this for public comment.
Okay, great.
Does that
thank you.
Answer all your questions? Yeah.
It does. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Christina. Excellent questions, and I especially appreciate that clarification on the agreement on each of the recommendations. Appreciate that. Tim.
No, thank you. My question was in regards to part of the summary that David gave, and just wanted to clarify in regards to the allowing marks into the clearinghouse from countries without a substantive review. And so just to make sure I understand correctly, then what my take on it was that those would be allowed to be in the clearinghouse, but the report is suggesting that registries should have some discretion on how any of the information in the clearinghouse might be used. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was
That's where some of the disagreement lies, correct?
Yeah, that was one of the most contentious issues. There was, I believe, unanimous consensus that every nation that has a trademark registration process would go, its trademarks were eligible to go into the database. However, the contentious issue was the way registries would use that data, where a country did not perform substantive review.
And that's been the subject of some minority reports as well.
Yes.
So I'm sure
yes.
That'll be a hotly debated issue in the comment period.
That's right.
As we go forward, yeah. Tim, is that helpful?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Thank you. Anybody else like to be in the queue in response to David's overview? Okay, if no one else on that, then, as noted on the council list, this particular motion and the document itself did not comply with our recently approved GNSO Council operating procedure, so it does require an exception to those procedures. Is there anyone who objects to an exception in this regard to go ahead and act on a motion, even though the motion was not within 8 days before the meeting and the document was not submitted as required in the procedures? Is there anyone who would object to an exception in this case? Okay, hearing no one, then we can go to the motion. And Stefan, since you ultimately made the motion, and let me give credit to Margie. Not only did she provide what I think was outstanding support to the STI review team, but she also essentially drafted this motion and helped with some last-minute edits to it yesterday. So thanks, Margie, for doing that. And Stefan, would you please read the motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Whereas on 12th October 2009, the ICANN board sent a letter to link provided to the GNSO requesting its review of the policy implications of certain trademark protection mechanisms proposed for the new GTLD program. Whereas in response to the board's letter on 28th October 2009, the GNSO created the Special Trademarks Issue STI Review Team to analyze the specific rights protection mechanisms that have been proposed for inclusion into the draft applicant guidebook. whereas on 11 December 2009, the STI review team delivered its report, link provided, to the GNSO Council describing an alternative proposal to address trademark concerns in the new GTLD program that was supported by consensus of its members. Whereas the GNSO has reviewed the STI report and the minority reports included therein and desires to approve the alternative proposal recommended by the STI review team. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the GNSO appreciates the hard work and tremendous effort shown by each member of the STI review team in developing the STI alternative proposal on an expedited basis. Resolved that the GNSO hereby approves the overall package of recommendations contained in the STI report and resolves that the STI proposal to create a trademark clearinghouse and a uniform rapid suspension procedure as described in the STI report is a more effective and implementable solution than the staff proposal described in the draft applicant guidebook version 3 and its accompanying memoranda. Resolved further that the GNSO Council directs staff to forward the recommendations to the board in response to its 12 October 2009 letter link provided, and acknowledges that the STI report will be posted as soon as possible for a 45-day public comment period to allow the ICANN community to comment on the STI recommendations prior to finalization of the model to be included in the draft applicant guidebook.
Thank you, Stefan. And that motion was seconded by Debbie. Thank you, Debbie, for doing that. Any discussion?
Hi, this is Zahid Jamil.
Zahid, okay. Anybody else like to be in the queue? Okay, Zahid, go ahead.
Just a drafting issue. Just looking at the second resolve, and it says a solution that the staff proposal described in the draft applicant guidebook version 3 and its accompanying memoranda. I think I could be wrong here, but just want to double check. I think that also includes the staff proposal on post-delegation. Do we want to include that as part of the package that we're saying this is better than that? It just might seem like we're not agreeing to the post-delegation staff proposal. So just wanted to sort of flag that. Maybe it's not an issue. Just wanted to ask that question.
Okay. Now you're talking. Okay. So which document in particular are you referring to?
The post-delegation. The post-delegation document.
Okay.
Would that
not be included in the accompanying memoranda?
It is. That's what I'm saying. And we're saying that these two solutions are better than all of that. And so are we sort of excluding, as an effective mechanism, the post-delegation? Could it be interpreted that way? Maybe it's not.
Oh.
I just wanted to ask that question.
It's a good question. I think I understand where you're going. In fact, maybe a clarification question, Margie or someone else, maybe you can help us on this. The proposal for the rights protection proposed by the board, where was it? That wasn't in the guidebook itself. It was in a separate document. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is Kurt. Thanks, Chuck. The post-delegation models for rights protection and for post-delegation for community protections were in the guidebook. It was the URS and the clearinghouse that was taken out.
I'm sorry, Chuck. Can I get in the queue?
Yes, go ahead.
I think what we could do with that second whereas clause. And also, I think we need to, I think we could just do the same language both, in both places, is just referring specifically to, for example, in the whereas clause, we could say, in response to the board's letter, the GNSO created the Special Trademarks Issues Review Team to analyze the trademark clearinghouse and uniform rapid suspension implementation models proposed by ICANN staff. And then in the resolved clause, I think you would just need to insert language to the effect of is more effective and implementable, or actually rather are more effective and implementable solutions than the iterations proposed by staff, blah, blah, blah. Because that way that I think we're being very clear that we're not talking about post-delegation, because post-delegation, it was clearly, I think, not on the table for this team. And I think there are at least a couple of us on the call that would say that, you know, that's a subject for another day.
That seems like a very helpful suggestion. Zahid, do you agree with that? Does that cover what the concern you raised? Zahid? Maybe on mute? Okay.
Chuck, he's dropped off. I'll get him. I'll
okay,
get him
all right. So we have a couple suggested amendments that are kind of the same in both cases, at least in terms of effect, in the whereas clause and in the resolution itself. Margie, do you
I had a separate question. My question related to the time of the public comment.
Go ahead, Margie. And who else wants in the queue? Was that Tim?
Yeah, this is Tim.
Okay, Tim, I'll get you in just a second. Go ahead, Margie.
Yeah, sure. It was a separate point. I had my hand up related to the length of the public comment period. And I just wanted to confirm with Denise and Kurt when the next board meeting is and when we would want the public comment period to close, because it might be less than 45 days. I think Kurt or Denise, do you have information on when the board would need the information from the public comment period?
Well, the board is tentatively scheduled to meet on February 4th, but that is not published because it's not agreed to yet, so it's still being talked about. But if February 4th is the most likely date, and the very, very last day for really putting stuff in front of the board, stretching the rules as much as we can, is a week. That's I think February 27th or 28th, which would lead to a 42 or 43 day comment period. So there's a couple days of ways of skinning that cat. One is taking the 45 days out of the resolution, and the comment period will be as long as it can be before the staff the board meeting closeout date. We can leave 45 days in the resolution. It'll be posted for 45 days with an advisory that everything up until, 42 days will be written up, and additional comments will be, orally reported to the board during the board call. But I think it'd be cleaner if we didn't say the length of the comment period, and then we just make, we'll post it, this afternoon or tomorrow, make the comment period as long as possible, and still meet the guidelines. But in either way, it can be either way the council wants to do it. It can be accommodated.
Okay. Thanks to Margie and Kurt. But let's come back to that issue, because let's finish the suggested amendments with regard to Zahid's question first, and then we'll come back to the comment period issue. So my question again: who has the who on staff has the pin on this that can, so that we can make the changes on in the motion that Christina suggested?
I guess that would be me, and I think Christina's changes make a lot of sense. That would be consistent.
So can you do those live and make sure that we have them so that everybody on the council can see the exact changes made? And did Zahid rejoin us yet?
Yes.
Okay, Zahid.
Yes, I'm back.
Were you able to hear Christina's suggested amendments?
Not entirely, but I'm sure they're good.
Okay. Margie, why don't you right now make sure you get them incorporated? If you have to ask Christina any questions on that, go ahead to get those.
Mark, I'll send you an email with specific, you know, the exact language, so you don't have to try and recreate.
Oh, that would be great, and then we'll come back to that, and we'll go ahead to the other one after Tim's. Tim was in the queue, so Tim, let's go ahead and go to you.
Okay. Well, I actually had two comments. One was just in regards to amending the motion. I guess I have no objections to that. I guess just need to see what it looks like.
Right.
The letter from the board was very clear about that there's only two issues to be looked at, the clearinghouse and the URS. So I guess I wasn't convinced that amendments were needed, but as long as they're minor, I just don't want to get into a situation where we have significant amendments to the motion, and then we have counselors who feel like they may not be in a position to vote now because it's changed significantly and they haven't had a chance to suggest it. But I guess we could take a look at those. But
sure.
My other comment was about the comment period. So I don't know if you want me to get into that.
Well, we're
going
to jump to that while we're waiting for Margie to get the email from Christina and then to get those in there. We'll jump to that topic. So go ahead.
Yeah, two things. One, my first initial question was just why it was 45 days. I mean, in the past, it seems like most comment periods are, you know, 21 or 30 days or something of that nature. And I was surprised that we were going to suggest 45 for this particular report, especially given that, you know, this is a topic we've hashed around for a long time now, and since it came back to the council, and so basically the entire community had an opportunity to participate in that discussion, it just seemed awful lengthy given the situation and that we want to come to some sort of resolution. And my only other comment about what Kurt was suggesting about leaving it open is that my concern about that is then, you know, some may submit comments towards the end that don't get considered, and then, you know, with the continued encouragement from the community for staff and board to try to explain how comments have been used and considered, I just think that could get difficult. So I guess I would be more of a proponent for a set time period, but to make it more like something no more than 30 days, which should give the board more time to consider all the comments that are submitted.
Who is that?
This is Kurt. It's Kurt.
Go ahead.
Respond?
Go ahead.
Tim, when I said open, what I said was that the council would leave the time period open, but when the comment period was posted, it would be for a very certain period, so everybody would know when the last day is, and that would calculate the last day and make it up to the latest day, you know, make the comment as long as possible, but end it in time for consideration of the materials. So it wouldn't be posted as an open public comment period. The council would just be giving the staff the flexibility to fashion the longest possible comment period given the board deadlines.
And, Tim, if I hear you correctly, what you're suggesting, maybe we don't need the longest possible, that 30 would be enough is the idea you're throwing out.
Yeah, I can't imagine at this point that anyone hasn't had a chance to consider some aspect of this and hasn't already commented on it or contributed in either the IRT or the STI or in other comments to the board, and why it would take more than 30 days to come up with their comments or response to this report. I would think it could be done, you know, in very short order, but, you know, if we're going to have a comment period, I would strongly recommend that we don't have it any longer than 30 days.
And I see hands raised by Jamie, Allen, and Christina. I don't know if they were raised in that order because I can't watch that continuously. So before I go to one of those people, did anyone from Stat Margie, was there any comment and any reason why a 45 days was picked?
This is Denise Chuck. I can.
Okay, Denise, go ahead.
We're mindful that the two groups that Tim has referenced and the latest one, the STI, were accelerated in their work and not open to anyone who wanted to be on every call. And so, you know, while there was a fair degree of transparency in the work and accessibility, it wasn't completely open. But more importantly, for the Northern Hemisphere, we're moving into a holiday period, and to the extent that there are members of the community, particularly people who haven't been able to follow and participate in the latest round of STI activities, who want to be overly cautious and make sure they have every opportunity to provide their input, particularly on an issue that is that has gained as much attention and interest in the broader community as this one has.
Thanks, Denise. Jamie.
I would like just to comment on the why was a period of 45 days, but better than 30 days, I think. Well, one of the reasons is already given is the holiday period, but the other one is the fact that minority with positions of minority reports have been received just now, and they should be considered by other constituencies. And with these holiday periods ahead, I don't know if we will have enough time to do it in 30 days, just because of that. And if 45 days is, I understood, it is enough for board consideration. So I don't know why to do a lesser period.
Thank you very much, Jamie.
Chuck.
And by the way, Denise, that was from someone in the Southern Hemisphere, I think. So.
Right. It's not a Hemisphere thing.
Yeah, right. It's not. So. Okay, and I think I heard
Chuck.
Stefan speak. Yeah, just a second, Stefan. There are a couple of people ahead of
okay.
you here.
No problem.
But I have you in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Alan.
Yeah, actually, both Denise and Jamie said pretty much what I was going to say. The holiday season and the newness of the minority reports, I think, mean we really have to have an opportunity for people to look at these things. And if 43 days or 2 days or whatever it is does not impact the board schedule, then we should do it.
Thank you, Alan. Christina?
Not to sound like a broken record, but Denise said far more diplomatically than what I would have said. I would just suggest that, you know, I'm a little uncomfortable with having the motion just pushing. Oh.
Okay.
Was that me? No, I guess I'm
no,
sorry.
No, it's not you. You're still okay if
all
you
right.
don't mind the beeping.
No, that's okay. I'm not entirely comfortable with the idea of not having a specified date in the motion. And, you know, given Tim's concern about 30 days, given the holiday issues, and trying to give the board as much time as they might need, you know, as long as we're reasonably confident that the next board meeting will not be before February 4th, I would suggest that we close the comment period, and we say that we close the comment period in the motion on January 26th, which is 40 days, so it's kind of halfway in between, you know, closer to 45, but also is within the time frame that the board would need.
Thank you, Christina. Okay, Stefan.
Thanks, Chuck. First of all, let me say that the call seems to be hampered by technical problems. I've been dropped twice in the last 10 minutes, so I may have missed some of the points that were made, and I apologize for that in advance if I reiterate them now. I do support what Tim was saying earlier on. I would support a shorter comment period, but one that does give, I mean, the aim of a shorter comment period for me is to give staff enough time to compile a clear enough report for the board to be able to consider it at its next meeting. So I don't know how long staff need to do that. If that's just a couple of days, then I would certainly go with Christina's suggestion that we do a 40-day comment period. If they need longer than that, and, you know, we have to, I think it's important to be realistic about what we're asking staff to do. If it takes 5 days to compile the comments, then we ought to give them that time. To be honest, I think 30 days or 35 days is long enough to have a look at what's at the material that's in front of us, take it back to our groups. I mean, the registrars have already been informed. I'm sure a lot of the other groups have done so as well. And so I think we just want to keep a realistically short comment period so that things can get moving. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan. So with regard to one point Stefan raised, now let me clarify some issues. If I understood correctly, is it correct to say that the soonest the board meeting would be the 4th of February, Kurt?
No, since so it's expected that the board meeting is February 4th, and if I had to guess, it would be after that if it changed, but I am not sure.
It's not definite.
Right, but as an assumption, you know, it seems like we're getting to a good compromise here, so as an assumption, I would take the February 4th date.
And then for other staff members that would prepare the analysis of comments, would the 26th of January provide sufficient time to prepare the analysis? I understand you don't know how many comments. I'm sure you can expect a lot. You know that as well as I do. Does that sound like a reasonable amount of time to prepare the summary and analysis?
So this is Kurt, and I'm not necessarily speaking for Denise or Margie. It can be accomplished in that time. I was going to make a small joke that the GNSO wasn't given a reasonable period of time to complete this work. So.
And there are a lot of people that will appreciate that, Kurt. Thanks. Denise or Margie or someone else on staff, you want to comment to that?
Sure, Margie. I agree with Kurt. I can do it. I can turn it around quickly enough if we close it on the 26th.
Okay. So that, I think, addresses one of the issues that you raised, Stefan. Any other discussion on the length of the comment period and the specific date? We'll come back. Tim, you had suggested no more than 30 days is the and others have suggested that a little longer time is helpful. Is the a deadline of the 26th of January something that you could live with?
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable compromise. My main concern was just that staff and board have enough time so that it can be considered at the next board meeting.
Yeah, that's what I thought I heard, so I wanted to confirm that. So thank you very much. Okay. Margie, how are we doing on the amendments from Christina?
I just got them, so give me a few minutes.
And they're going to show up on Adobe or the Wiki page or both?
I'm going to change them on the Wiki page, and then Marika will put it on Adobe.
Okay, so it might be helpful if people look at the motions on the GNSO Council workspace. And then once she alerts us, we'll update them. So while she's doing that, it sounds like then there's a suggested amendment to change the January 26th, end of the comment period to be January 26th. So language would need to be adjusted there. Now, I think the gist of these, of the three amendments, three places where there's an amendment, two of them very similar, is clear. Stefan, do you find these amendments as friendly amendments?
The second one, yes. The first one I'm not clear on, to be honest.
Okay, so you need to see it. That's okay. That's acceptable.
I would like to see it.
That's not a problem at all. And Debbie, are you in the same boat in terms of your second?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Okay, so any other discussion while we're waiting to see the specific amendments? Okay. Well, we
Chuck?
Hang loose here a little bit.
Chuck?
Yes, go ahead.
Is it useful to suggest that we move on to the next item and then come back?
Well, let me see here. Our next item is the...
Well, that one involves Margie, too.
Yeah, it does. And
what about go to 4?
That is 4, right? And then...
5.
Yes, why don't we have... Olga, can you give us... Let's go to jump to item 5. And
mm-hmm.
Olga, if you could give a status report. There's no actions on this particular one, so... Could you give an update on the prioritization of the GNSO work, please? Good suggestion.
Yes, of course, Chuck. Thank you for this. We have had 3 teleconferences. If you see the status report that is updated in the wiki, that has slightly changed that because we have been working very actively in our working team. For the moment, we work in a list of projects that we have identified through specific abbreviations. We have agreed in these abbreviations. What we are doing now is working in a model, in a two-dimensional model with a two-axis graph, X and Y. We define which is the variables in each of these X and Y axis. And what we are doing now is proving this model among ourselves in 2 stages. First stage is doing our prioritization process individually, and then we will try to do the same exercise among ourselves, but grouped perhaps randomly or perhaps among some group interest that we may define. We will have our next conference call just after this one. So we hope to show you the outcomes of this exercise soon and also to show you the model that we are proposing. But before we want to see if it really works, I would like really to commend the support that we are having from ICANN staff, from Ken Bauer and Liz Caster, because it's really amazing how they have helped us in building the list and in preparing all these models. So we have participated, but it has been really a pleasure having them involved because they have helped us a lot. And we have been working very, very good. So we hope to show the whole council a proposal for a methodology and a model of two-axis with graphs that we can use and the list of projects and the abbreviations, how to proceed and how to use them, and perhaps you think that's a good idea, and we all agree in it. That's for now, and if you have questions, please ask me, and also Jack, Stefan, and Wolf. We are very active in the small group, so perhaps they can also answer any questions.
And Olga, it's correct to say that what we're doing as a group isn't to define the priorities. We're testing the methodology before we propose it to the council, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we are defining a methodology. We're defining a model. We are defining a list of projects, abbreviations. So it's a proposal of how to proceed. We are not doing prioritization. We are doing the tools for then the whole council to be able to do the prioritization. That's the idea.
Thank you. Any questions of Olga? Anything Stefan or Wolf want to add?
Nope.
Okay. All right, thank you. How are we doing on the motions, Margie?
This is Margie, guys. Updated on the wiki, and I'll post it now on the Adobe.
Okay, so it's updated on the wiki, so if you refresh the wiki, the revised language, and Margie, clarify for everyone, it was the second whereas clause, is that correct? That the first change was made?
That's correct.
Okay, so it now reads, assuming mine refreshed, in fact, why don't you read it just to make sure?
So it's the second whereas clause. Whereas in response to the board's letter on 28 October 2009, the GNSO Council created the Special Trademark Issues Review Team to analyze the staff and the implementation models of the Trademark Clearinghouse and Uniform Suspension System that were proposed for inclusion in the draft applicant guidebook.
Christina, is that okay?
Yeah, although that's not what I'm actually seeing in my notes. that's showing up on Adobe. I don't know if that's what I'm supposed to be seeing.
I don't think Adobe's been updated yet.
Okay, all right.
Marika's doing that. If you look at the GNSO Council Workspace Wiki, it's been updated
okay.
there. Sorry for the time delay.
Okay, no, that's fine.
No.
I just want to look in other places.
Okay. Was there a question on that?
Okay. No, that's fine. The one thing, and I put in a note in the Adobe, that in reading it, it seemed to me that in a couple places that there were references to solely the GNSO that I thought should actually be the GNSO Council. So, you know, I didn't change them. I mean, I changed them in the language that I sent to Margie, but I don't know whether they need to be changed in the other clauses. For example, in the first whereas clause, in the last whereas clause, and in the first resolve clause.
Well, and you know, and we could probably debate that issue because...
Okay, all right, never mind.
Hear me out here just to see if it makes sense. Technically, or maybe technically is not the right word, the GNSO Council really is a body that represents the various stakeholders within the GNSO. So I'd kind of like to think that the terms are interchangeable, but maybe they're not always. So I don't know. Does anyone else think we maybe should change GNSO to GNSO Council?
Chuck, Stefan here.
Go ahead.
I think Christina's got a point on the first whereas because the letter was sent to the GNSO Council. It's just, I mean, it is a small point, but if we want to be extremely exact, then maybe that should say GNSO Council.
Well, rather than spending a lot of time on that, Margie, would you add Council to, and this is going to mean another change in the Adobe Connect as well. It's a fairly minor one, so I don't think we need to waste a lot of time waiting for it, but change that to GNSO Council in that second whereas. Yes?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I have two motions, actually. The one is the original one and then the motion. Which one is now the exact one which has been amended?
Are you on the wiki page?
I'm on the wiki page, yes.
Okay, look at the second whereas clause.
Yeah, but that's the motion. The one is the motion itself, and then there's the original motion.
Yeah, Wolf, it's motion 2, not 2A.
It's 2, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, I didn't understand the question. Thank you, Stefan, for responding to that. So now we go down to the resolutions. Margie, would you read the changes made in the resolutions?
Okay. So then the second resolve clause would read, resolve that the GNSO Council approves the overall package of recommendations contained in the STI report and resolves that the STI to create a trademark clearinghouse and a procedure as described in the STI report are more effective and implementable solutions than the corresponding staff implementation models that were described in the memoranda accompanying the draft applicant guide section 3.
Would you read that last part again, where you made the changes?
Oh, I'm just reading from what Christina sent me, so I don't have it redlined.
Chuck, I
can tell you exactly what I changed.
Go ahead.
I changed, in the is a more effective and implementable solution to are more effective and implementable solutions. I changed the whole last starting from is a more. From is a more effective and implementable solution than the staff proposal described in the draft applicant guidebook version 3 and its accompanying memoranda. That was the original language. I changed
right.
it to are more effective and implementable solutions than the corresponding staff implementation models that were described in memoranda accompanying the draft applicant guidebook version 3.
Say, Chuck, this is Tim. It appears to me that the changes are that there's changes in 2 and 2A. Like what Christina just read is in 2A, but the 26th of January date is in 2.
That's correct.
So it's like the changes are like cross-mixed here. So I'm not sure.
Let me suggest that we don't focus on 2A. 2A was the original motion. Nobody made that motion or seconded it, okay? The motion that was made by Stefan and seconded by Deborah was number 2.
Chuck, that's
right,
not what Tim
is
saying.
Is that the changes that Christine made, that Christine just read, that's actually the resolve in 2A.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
in
so
2, it doesn't have those changes.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh.
Yeah.
I apologize for that. I think I might have made a change in the wrong one, but I think on the Connect, you should have the...
So what? Let me just clarify.
Thank you.
On the screen now... The motion we're voting on is motion 2, but as Tim rightly says, the second change for the second resolved has been shown on motion 2A.
Ah, okay.
Right,
okay.
But the change that I proposed to the whereas clause to deal with...
It is on motion 2.
Is only in 2A and not in 2.
Yes. Margie, could you make it in motion 2, please? Not motion 2A. Sorry for the confusion.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Actually, Marika doing it right now.
Okay, so it's going to be on the wiki, or is it going to be on both?
It's already done on the one on Adobe, and I can change it on the
wiki. I'll go over to Adobe. Thank you. Okay.
Sorry.
All right, so that's helpful. Thanks, Tim and Stefan, for correcting that. I was wondering why I wasn't seeing it on the change on motion 2, so it answered a question that was running through my mind. So the result, please look at the Adobe Connect if you can. Now, Zahid can't. So, Zahid, were you able to follow what Christina said in terms of the change on the second resolve?
Yeah, thank you, Chuck. I looked at 2A, and I understand that there was a mix-up, and the language is absolutely perfect. That's exactly what we're trying to say, the corresponding one.
Okay,
and it's perfectly fine, yep.
And then we also have a change in the last resolve that now says the comment period will end on 26 January. Are there any questions or comments on the amendments made before I ask Stefan and Debbie whether they support those as friendly amendments? Okay. Stefan.
Yes.
Debbie.
Yes.
Any more discussion before we take a vote? My opinion is, and I'm welcome to disagreement on this, is that we probably should take a roll call vote on this one. Is there any disagreement with that? Okay. Glenn, it's all yours.
Thank you, Chuck. There is a roll call vote, and it is by random selection, so whatever names come out, it is completely random. Rosemary Sinclair.
She's absent.
Wolf Ulrich Knobin.
Yes.
Caroline Greer.
Yes.
Mary Wong. Mary. Wendy Seltzer.
Yes.
Terry Davis.
Yes.
Bill Drake.
Yes.
Mike Rodenbach.
Yes.
Adrian Kinderis is absent. Zahid Jamil.
Yes.
Stefan van Gelder.
Yes.
Rafik Damak.
Yes.
Christina Rosette.
Yes.
Deborah Hughes.
Yes.
Edmund Chan.
Yes.
David Taylor.
Yes.
Tim Ruiz.
Yes.
Jamie Wagner. Jamie, are you still connected?
He's showing connected.
Oh,
it's showing redialed.
No, that's just, I think, a note that he should be redialed if he drops off Chuck.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Chuck Gomes?
Yes.
Olga Cavelli?
Yes.
So we are missing just the vote from Jamie and the vote from Mary Wong. Mary, are you back yet?
She's still showing disconnected, so.
Yes, she's disconnected.
Go ahead and tally the vote.
Jamie's voted on Adobe. So he can hear us.
Has Jamie voted on Adobe? And that is yes. Sorry, can I just look at it, see from Adobe?
Yeah, I can confirm that. I see it there, too.
Okay.
So
we have, in the contracted party house, we have 6 yes votes. Adrian Kinderis is absent. And in the non-contracted party house, we have... out of the 13 votes, yes. And the 2 votes that are absent is Mary Wong is not here to vote. And Rosemary Sinclair.
So the motion passed.
Passes, yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. I know this has taken a long time, but this is a very important issue. And the time we spent on it was minimal compared to that spent by the STI review team. So thanks to everybody that made this happen. David, thank you for chairing this. And you can thank John as well for filling in for you and all the team that made this happen. And also thanks to all of you for doing such a good job of keeping your groups informed and being ready for this, considering the time frame. That's very impressive and very much appreciated. Going on to action 4 on the issues report regarding vertical separation of registries and registrars, that report also was out late, according to our procedures, and the motion late as well. So we will have to accept an exception to the procedures to vote on the motion. Before I do that, are there any questions or discussion on that? There's been quite a bit of good discussion on the list, but are there any additional questions or discussions at this point?
This is Tim. I'm back in the queue.
Okay, so Tim, and who was the other person?
Christina, please.
Oh, Christina, thanks. Anybody else? Okay, Tim.
I don't really have any objection to going ahead and voting on the motion. I just more of a process question as to why we think we need the motion. Is it because If we don't take this, we're not going to be responding within the 15 days, or
yes.
Is there another reason?
Yeah, that's okay. It. Keep in mind the PDP process in the bylaws hasn't been changed yet. They're still working on a proposal for that, and so we're living by the existing bylaws, and that's why.
Got it. Thanks.
Good question. Christina?
One thing that would be helpful to me is to get an understanding of what is going to be the best mechanism to ask questions about the report. Should we do that on the list, and then we can take those answers back to our constituency? So because, frankly, not surprisingly, most of the IPC folks have been focusing on the STI issue, but, this is also an important issue, and folks do have a number of questions. So should we just put those on the list and Margie, as author of the issues report, will answer them. How do we want to do that? I think it's helpful if we are going to defer a vote that we at least decide how we're going to deal with questions.
Well, that's a normal procedure that we use, and I think it's a good one. And certainly it's good if Margie can respond, but I would also encourage everybody to participate on the discussion on the list in terms of this particular issue. So Margie certainly can respond with regard to the issues report itself. I assume there will be discussion on pros and cons, et cetera, as well, which I think anyone's welcome to respond to. Did you have another method in mind instead of using our list?
No, I just didn't know whether, you know, perhaps it might be within the realm of possible to schedule at, like, a separate, short, you know, very targeted half an hour of questions type call. I have no preference one way or the other. I just want to make sure that I'm clear as to the...
Now, one option we have without a separate call, I think it's going to be hard to do a separate call at least for the rest of December. I don't know. Please disagree with me if you think I'm wrong on that. But notice that we'll get to the motion in a minute if there are no objections to the exception. But notice that the motion says that we would deal with this, that we would make a decision in January. We have two meetings in January. And it was intentionally designed that way so that, again, because of the holidays, we don't force ourselves to do it on 7th of January. We could do it on the 28th. So one option would be to have the discussion you're talking about as part of our council meeting on the 7th and then acting on it on the 28th. So that would be one way of approaching that. But if people think that we should schedule a special call, that is certainly an option.
I have no preference.
Okay. Well, we can deal with that as we go forward. It's a very good question that you asked, and so certainly I want to encourage as much list discussion on this between now and our 7 January meeting as possible, because we could do a lot on that, and then we can follow all that. That'll make it easier then on the 7th to have a productive interaction on the issue at that time. And please make sure that your various groups are alerted to this right away so that they can be involved in the discussions through you. Anybody else want in the queue on that before we move on to the motion?
Yeah, this is Tim.
You were both talking at the same time. I think I caught Tim, and was it Wolf?
Bill.
Okay, yeah. Okay, Tim, go ahead.
We'll let Bill go first. I have a different question,
Bill.
About the overview.
Bill, I'll come back to Tim.
Okay, just a simple process point. I thought I'd let you know NCUC will be submitting for our collective consideration two statements, one on the substantive issues entailed in the report and the general issue, and secondly on the procedural questions that are raised in the report about the role of GMSO. And I suspect that that probably will happen later than the 7th. So I hope that we will be able to have a more serious and substantive conversation at the later meeting.
Okay, and we can. There's nothing to restrict us in that regard. And that could also lead to a situation where maybe Christina's suggestion of a special meeting before the 28th, we could have, but we can talk about that more on the 7th, because this will be on the agenda for the 7th, and I'm quite sure it'll be on the agenda for the 28th. So thank you for sharing that, Bill. That's helpful information. Tim.
Yeah, I was just curious, if, you know, given where we are time-wise and that what we've discussed so far, are we still considering an overview and discussion of the issues report right now, or are we going to move straight to the motion and look to do that at a later date?
Excellent questions. Does anyone object to skipping the overview in this meeting?
Actually, it's Mike Rodenbaugh. I do.
Okay. All right. Well, it's on the agenda, so...
I'm looking forward to that. I'm sure Margie was, too.
Well, Margie's overview is only 7 slides, as I recall. And so if there are no more discussion at this point, I'll ask her to go ahead and give that overview. And the slides are popping up on Adobe right now.
Yeah, I kept this presentation fairly short, and if you want more detail for the next meeting, we can take notes. So basically, okay. Can you guys?
Next slide.
Okay. And the issue relates to vertical integration between trees and registers, and whether there should be rules that apply if there is.
Is Margie cutting in? Is she cutting in and out for everybody or what?
Yes. Is it? Do I have a bad connection?
I have no idea what the cause of it is, but you are breaking up.
Okay. Well, maybe I need to call back in then. We want to move on to the next. I'll call right back.
Sure. What we will do is we will have Denise give the board update, agenda item 6.1. And she posted, she sent around the link to the preliminary report, so hopefully everybody had a chance to look at that. Denise.
Okay, I'll call back.
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Board most recent meeting was on December 9th. I sent the council a link that has a preliminary report from that board meeting. I'll quickly walk through it for members who have not had a chance to read it. Under the consent agenda, they approved a payment of bills, an amendment to partial bulk transfer in the .com and .net submitted by their assigned under the RCEP program. Can you guys still hear me okay?
Yes.
A lot of static. Under the regular agenda, the board received a report from the president, an update on the affirmation of commitment review plan. They also approved a lease for an expanded Washington, D.C. office. They also discussed and approved a resolution relating to the expressions of interest for new GTLDs. In particular, they directed staff to record and publish public comments that were received relating to the risks and considerations on this matter, and also directed staff to undertake additional analysis on the points that were raised. And so next steps on that are staff summary and analysis on the public comments, board's determination of the appropriate expression of interest model, and the board is expecting to consider this issue again at its February board meeting. And Kurt, I believe, will be rejoining the call and can provide more information on issues relating to the draft applicant guidebook and new GTLDs. But just to note, the board also received an extensive update from Kurt on the timeline and action items related to the draft applicant guidebook and acknowledged an updated schedule and work plan there. The board also acted on several pending applications for the creation of new GTLD constituencies. One application, the consumer constituency application, the board plans on completing at its next board meeting, and they acted on the other three pending applications. For the cyber safety constituency, they did not approve that as a new constituency, encouraged them to remain active in ICANN and look for appropriate other constituencies to join. relating to the city PLD constituency. They acknowledge that that group is eligible to be an observer in the registry constituency and encourage them to take that path. That application also was not approved at the IDN DPLD constituency petition. The board also did not approve. Questions remain outstanding on the focus of that proposed constituency and as well as its eligibility in any single stakeholder group, given the variety of stated members of the group, including non-governmental entities, non-commercial entities, commercial entities. The board also reviewed a reforecasting of the fiscal year 2010 budget, the current budget. Staff is working on that and will be providing the board with more information. The board also approved the redelegation of .co and the approval of the .post sponsorship agreement. The board also requested that staff provide an update at the next meeting on the review of economic studies. And that concluded the meeting.
Just one correction, I think it's a correction, Denise, and that is with regard to the IDN constituency, as I recall reading the preliminary report, they didn't approve that because it didn't fit in any one particular stakeholder group within the GNSO restructure, and the option for, it's not an option for that group per se to participate in the registry stakeholder group, but to the extent that members of that potential constituency met the criteria as a potential registry, they could participate as observers. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Anybody have anybody want in the queue on this?
I do. It's Christina.
Christina's in the queue. Anybody else?
Bill.
Let me look at the, I don't see, okay, good, all right, Christina, go ahead, please.
All of my questions relate to the EOI process plan. Am I correct in understanding that the board has decided to proceed with an EOI plan, and at this point it's just deciding what the appropriate model is?
This is Kurt. Yeah, the board... in principle, is I don't have the resolution in front of me.
But the board, in principle, has agreed that an EOI should be launched, but wants to did not give final approval to that, but instead directed staff to take into account all the public comment, and then take that public comment into account and the board discussion to create an EOI model for discussion. So a decision to launch an EOI hasn't been made, but a decision's been made for staff to synthesize the public comment and post a model for discussion. So just like the STI report, you'll see very, very shortly posted for 40 or so days an EOI model. And again, when I say model, it's not going to be the procedures and processes necessary to apply for an EOI, but rather it's to a discussion of those key issues and a proposal around those key issues, such as should it be mandatory to have to participate in the EOI to participate in the first round. You know, a discussion, proposal and discussion of those key issues to have a robust public discussion on it.
So, Kurt, just to clarify your answer to Christina, the board has not made a decision to do an EOI. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
The board's made a decision for staff to post a model based on the public comment received so far and those questions that were posed.
Christina, does that answer your question?
One of them. I have several. The second is in the last whereas clause of the resolution. There's a reference to the board discussion resulting in preliminary determinations. To the extent that the items delineated in the two resolve clauses are not the full scope of the board determinations. Can you tell us what those board determinations were?
So which clause are you reading? There's two resolve clauses, right?
Right. And what I'm wondering is...
And which resolve
those,
clause are you
those
reading?
Those both set out specific tasks. The last whereas clause says the board discussion resulted in some preliminary determinations pending formalizing the EOI process model
right.
and obtaining... Da-da-da.
Right.
Do the resolve clauses and the action items set forth in them, do those correspond to the entire scope of the board determinations? And if not, what were the additional board determinations that aren't set forth?
None. So what you'll see in the proposed model includes some preliminary sense of the board directions for inclusion in the model for public discussion. So what you see in the model will be the results of the public comment and the board determinations, and there's no other board determinations other than that.
All right.
That makes sense?
Not really, but I'll go with it.
Well, your question is, are there any board determinations that you won't see in the
No,
in
I'm
the
talking
post-
about board determinations that aren't specifically delineated in this resolution. In other words, the board determined that, you know, the staff should be directed to record and publish public comment.
Right.
Board determined that the staff is directed to continue under da-da-da, and so on. Is there
right.
anything that the board determined that is not reflected in one of these two resolve clauses?
Yeah, so what the board's saying is put in the model some of the preliminary board thoughts or determinations about what should be in the model given the board's reading of public comment.
Okay. And my last question has to do with public comment. It's my understanding that generally when the board is acting or considering something that's been out for public comment, that the staff provides them with, you know, a summary or analysis, you know, call it what you will, public comment. And my question is, did that happen here? And if the answer to that is yes, what was the date cutoff of the public comment that was presented to the board?
Whatever we said. Well, it was about... So, December 4th or something like that?
It said November 27 in the public comment announcement.
Yeah, so the board saw a comment that was later than that and then got a verbal description of comment that occurred after that. And then the board said, and take into account the you know, all the public comment through the closing date of December 11th, also in formulating this model. Right, so the question you're asking is the public comment period extended past the board meeting. So up until the closing date of the of supplying materials to the board 1 week before the board meeting, the public comment was included up until then, and then there was a verbal description given of additional public comment. Plus, of course, you know, it was the public comment was available to the board to read, you know, right up until that date.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Kurt and Christina. Bill.
Okay, I wanted to ask about what are the constituencies that was rejected. I mean, there's interesting questions about all of them, but one in particular, the cyber censorship constituency, was something that came out of the non-commercial space, as we all know, and we had to spend in NCUC a great deal of time dealing with this, particularly in the context of the charter discussions around the NCSC. And so that was pretty all-consuming. And, of course, we came under some criticism as well at that time for how we were dealing with these folks or whatever. And so now we have a decision, and this may all come back to us again. I mean, in the NCSC context, it may well be that we have a second round of interactions with these folks around what they want to do and so on. So it would just be kind of useful to us to have some sense of what the board considerations were around this, the basis for the decision, or were there criteria that were not met? Were there suggestions made to them about how they might proceed going forward in the same way the suggestions were made to, you know, the city people and so on? Just a little bit of clarity so that we know what we might have to deal with later on.
Bill, would you be okay if Kurt provided that to the council list separately from this meeting because of time constraints?
Oh, sure, if nobody else is interested.
No, it's not a matter of interest at all. We're 10 minutes from the from our planned 2 hours, and we're I'm just trying to see how we're going to get through a couple other essential items.
That's entirely fine, Chuck. We'd love to hear from Kurt online.
So, Kurt, can you provide that feedback to the council list for all of us, not just the NCSG?
Yeah, of course I can.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Okay, unless there's some other urgent question regarding the board update, I want to jump back to Margie and her presentation. Margie, let's see how it goes this time.
Does this sound better?
Yeah, so far.
Okay. Kurt has to leave shortly. Kurt, do you want to cover your issues first before we go back to the?
I don't think so. I think it's the chair's decision. But I've got like a 15-minute meeting, and I can be back on the call, and then.
I'm not sure we'll be going. How soon do you have to get off, Kurt?
Oh, 10 minutes.
Okay, we better do yours now. So
sorry for
jumping around, folks, but agenda item 6.2, new GTL, the implementation process update. Thanks, Margie, for calling that to our attention. Kurt, you're on.
So, as part of the board meeting, as Denise described, we presented to the board a project plan, a revised project plan, and that was requested by the board in Seoul. As everybody here knows, I think there's a detailed project plan for completing the implementation of new GTLDs. That's, hundreds of tasks and done in Microsoft Project or something like that. And as the issues boil down and their interdependencies become a little more complex, it became time to reset the project plan and provide that to the board. So I'll give you a brief review of that issue here, and then of those issues here, and then there'll be a public posting of a revised project plan. The project plan we gave the board was in span times rather than dates. So that remains consistent, but there are some deliverables that will add some certainty to people's lives. There were two key dependencies listed in the schedule, and those were, one you'll be happy to know was the vote on the trademark report here, so we can already tick one box off thanks to your work, and another is that we come to a decision fairly quickly on whether or not we're going to do an EOI round, so we look for a firm decision on whether to launch that or not, because that'll put into place not some planning but actually some actions that cost some money. And then as far as deliverable goes, in a high overview level, we in a schedule that's has no contingency in it, what we want to do is publish for Nairobi not a full version guidebook 4 but excerpts again, but they'll be fairly substantial, I think, and so you'll see that along with, the public comment analysis in Brussels. If the all the contingencies get resolved, you'll see version 4 of the guidebook, and that should be pretty close to the final guidebook that would be approved. That would be probably no earlier than the meeting in Latin America. So what do we want to publish?
So you're saying, Kurt, that a final applicant guidebook wouldn't be approved until December.
At the earliest, I would think. So I would the takeaways I would take is that in Nairobi we'll publish a guidebook excerpts, and in Brussels we plan to publish version 4 of the guidebook, which we think is very close to the final version of the guidebook because of what I'm going to say. We have some target deliverables for Nairobi. One is trademark protections, the revised models based on the GNSO vote and the public comment period that's going to ensue, and then the post-delegation dispute models need quite a bit of work, as you know. So you'll see that we hope to deliver the first phase of renewed economic analysis in Nairobi. On malicious conduct, there's been a lot of good work on that one and several changes made to the guidebook. What's left are a discussion of possible high security zone verification plans and also whether there should be centralized access to zone data. So those two discussions have to occur. And then also for Nairobi, we want to resolve certain aspects of the registry agreement. For example, the process for amending the agreement. Vertical separation is another one of those requiring solution. And then also we want to have in place some operational readiness aspects. So most of the key issues we think will be modeled for the Nairobi meeting and one more round of discussion there. And then for guidebook four, what's required? Well, the final gist of an economic study, any base agreement issues that are remaining. So we think again the clearinghouse and URS will be finalized after one more round of GNSO discussion, the amendment process, vertical separation. For guidebook four, we also have to resolve the three character and variant management issue, and we have proposals on them, as you've seen posted for public comment. And it's fun for us to stick the GAC in the critical path because they haven't commented on guidebook three yet, nor will they. They'll start their work on guidebook three pending the publication of your report. So those are the things that have to be done for Nairobi and then for Brussels. I just want to comment briefly on the EOI.
Okay.
You'll see this in a few days, but it seems that, and so if you could withhold comment until you see the publication, but what you'll see is that participation in the EOI is mandatory to participate and enter into the first round, and that triggers, if you think about a decision tree, that triggers another round of very important decisions that have to be made. One is a fee level that doesn't act as a barrier, but still at works to prevent, gaming of the process or people trying to reserve slots for a low cost. There'll be certain and limited conditions for a refund, such as if the round's canceled or something like that. There's the chance that the guidebook may change after the EOI round, so you'll see a lot of words written about certain issues that have to be resolved before the guidebook is posted, such as vertical integration and three-character issue. Vertical integration because of who can apply and three-character issue, what they can apply for. So there's some issues like that that have to be resolved. And then there's certain things that are other prerequisites. So we have to have our operational readiness plans in place. And then very importantly, we have to have a fully executed communications plan. So, the communications plan that the GNSO recommended or mandated as a prerequisite to launching new GTLDs, well, if the EOI is going to be mandatory, then before it can be launched, we'll need that same plan will have to be executed because we don't want anybody at the end of the day raising their hand and saying, gee, we didn't know about new GTLDs. So we think that's important. So I'm sorry for – it was kind of a babble, but we went over three things. One is that what are the deliverables for Nairobi? What are the prerequisites for a guidebook four that is in the schedule to be delivered in Brussels? And what are the prerequisites to an EOI? You'll see that EOI, that detail in the next day or two also.
Kurt, a question. I thought I heard you say that a decision has been made to make the EOI mandatory for those who are going to apply later. Did I misunderstand or did you say that?
I said that, and that's what's going to be published. So that's advance notice for people on this call of what's going to be published in the next day or so, along with rationale and other decisions associated, the effects of that and other decisions that have to be taken. So, you'll see you'll see that and the reasoning behind it and then can comment on it.
So a final decision hasn't been made to make it mandatory, but that's what's going to be proposed by staff.
That's what's going to be in the model.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
Sure.
Yes. Bill?
No, it's Stefan.
Stefan. Okay. I'm not doing very well on listening, am I? Okay.
No,
anybody
problem.
Else want in the queue besides Stefan?
Christina, please.
Okay. Anyone else? Stefan, go ahead.
Thanks. Thanks, Kurt. Very, very useful. I have a few direct questions, if I may. The first one is, it sounds from what you've just told us that the EOI is just going to add further delays, further costs. Is that your assessment? You on?
Yeah, so the answer is no. In the project schedule, the EOI is not on the critical path to finishing. You can argue that it will accelerate the program by creating an air of, this is moving now. You'll see it called an EOI and a pre-registration. Or you could say, there's a chance it's going to raise other issues and create arguments for stalling more. So, yeah, you can argue both sides of it easily, but as far as the plan goes, it doesn't delay the final implementation.
But you did say there would be added costs.
Some, but not much.
Okay. Stefan, go ahead.
Thank you, Chuck. Next question, is there any discussion still about tracks or categories, or is that absolutely not something that's been discussed? My question is with regards to the new timeline that you've just given us, which extends DAG work all through 2010, which pushes back the possible first round in mid-2011, if my arithmetic is correct, and the pressure that you're getting from some people to allow for, including the GAC, or especially the GAC, to allow for tracks to enable certain types of applicants not to be delayed anymore.
So could you state the question at the end?
You want me to do what?
So specifically, what's your question?
My question is: is that being discussed? Is the possibility of categories of TLDs still being discussed, or is staff and the board working towards what's always been the case, which is no specific categories apart from the ones that are already included in the DAG?
Yeah, so right now there's an assumption that that there aren't categories that would be afforded different sorts of accommodations like no agreement or lower fees or another accommodation that would require inclusion in the applicant guidebook. But the creation of categories without them continues. So, but it's not something that's in the schedule that would or being anticipated that would extend the schedule.
I'm not sure I understood what you just said. Did you say that the idea that some people would pay less or more is not being discussed, but that the possibility that some people would go before others still is? I'm trying to be as clear as I can.
No. So am I, and so that's why I'm tripping up. There's not an anticipation now that the discussion of categories would delay the schedule further.
Okay.
But the discussion
Thanks.
Of categories is still on the table.
Yeah, I think so, because people in the community still want to discuss it.
Okay, thank you. Did you have any more questions, Stefan?
No, that's fine. Thanks, Chuck.
Okay, Christina.
I don't even know where to start. I mean, am I the only one who feels like they're in the twilight zone? I mean, we're being told that the board has made a decision on something pretty significant in terms of spending time and effort to proceed with something, which, notwithstanding characterization of the contrary, I think everybody on this call realizes means that the board has decided to go forward in principle
with an EOI, even though public comment wasn't done, notwithstanding what fact, notwithstanding what's in the affirmation of commitments, then you have this whole, we haven't decided whether to do one, but if we do do one, it's going to be mandatory, and we're going to have to make special accommodations for folks who are going to go ahead with an EOI, even though they know full well that the guidebook isn't done. I mean, I just, honestly, I feel like I'm in some kind of parallel universe here.
And Christina, you're not alone, I'll tell you that. There's been similar concerns expressed within the registries.
All right. That wasn't, you know, it was a rhetorical question as to whether anyone else feels like they're in the Twilight Zone, but I just couldn't take it anymore. Apologies.
Okay.
Hear the music welling up.
I do want to call everyone's attention to the note in the agenda on 624 that in our January 7th meeting we will have on the agenda to talk about one of the things Kurt mentioned with regard to the selection of scripts for single character IDNs and the method for allocation of those, and as a paper has been out on that the link is provided in this agenda. We're not going to talk about that now, but please focus on that in preparation for our January 7th meeting. Kurt, did you have anything else to add? Any other questions?
Well, yeah. Well, not to defend against what Christina said, but I don't know actually how to have a discussion about what a model might be without putting up a straw man model, which is what the board recommended to do. So we asked a number of questions about how a EOI or would be configured to be useful, and we got a lot of comment, and most of the comment was. We should do an EOI, but a lot of the comments says, but if you do an EOI, make sure you communicate fully before. If you do an EOI, make sure that the information you get is certain. And there was comments on each side, so we took advantage of that comment, and the board said, put together for public comment a straw man based on that, and go get another round of comment. So it was a suggestion that came not from ICANN, it came from the public comment session in Seoul, and the board listened to the public comment, went out with a very general set of questions, took that set of questions, told staff to read the answers to the set of questions and develop a straw man model and post that for public comment. And so this is the result of that, and it mimics the public comment. So I wouldn't know how else to have a discussion without writing something down to stare at it.
No. I mean, and the clarification is helpful because I had understood you to say previously that the decision had been made that it would be mandatory. And I think, having the clarification that the decision had been made for purposes of the model for public comment, I mean, that additional clarifying phrase I think is very helpful.
Okay, and read it and have the discussion for yourself because in the last weeks, we sat around the table here, and now it's everybody's turn to sit around the table and say, well, if it is mandatory, this is what's going to happen. If it's not mandatory, this is what's going to happen. So what's better? And at the end, we kind of got to the decision, well, the first choice is the mandatory. The first choice is to not even do it. And a distant third is to make it not mandatory because you're going to get information that's not useful and you're going to be spending money to get it. But this is for everybody to have that discussion and bring up points that haven't been raised yet to make the model better, and
okay.
Then decide whether to do it or not.
We better. I'm sorry, we don't have more time on this, but thank you very much, Kurt, for the update. You have certainly provided some information that gives us a lot to think about, and so we do appreciate that. We are yes. Who is that?
I don't know any kind of.
I'm sorry. Did somebody ask to speak? No. Okay. I guess I'm just hearing something in the background. I'm going to come back to agenda item four. We're obviously well over our 2 hours. Mike, do you still want to hear Margie's report?
Chuck, he just sent an email saying his phone died and he had to go to another call, so I don't think he's on.
Is there anybody else that wants to see this report now? It is available for your review. Obviously, that's not the same of having Margie available to talk to it, but you're certainly welcome to ask Margie questions in terms of the presentation as well as the report.
Chuck, it's Alan. Are we still planning to have a review of Nairobi security?
That's one of the things I think we have to at least get to. That's why I'm kind of rushing right now.
I would say
Chuck,
no.
May I make a suggestion, please? It's Stefan.
Go ahead.
I think it's clear that we have at least two issues that we still need to talk about, which is the face-to-face meeting request and the Nairobi security issue. So it's clear that the meeting is going to run over for at least half an hour. I suggest, if Margie's okay with it, that we skip her report. And we do have a motion on that item for agenda item that we need to discuss as well. So
that's correct. Is there so nobody said that they needed to hear the report now, so we will skip that. We can do that again if it's still desired on our 7 January meeting. We do have a motion on the table, but is there anybody who objects to the to there being an exception to considering this motion since the procedures were not satisfied? Okay, then let's go to that motion right now, and so that motion then is motion number 3, and I made it, and Bill and Jamie both seconded it. It's very short. Is there anybody that thinks it's essential that I read it? Okay, I will read
nope.
Read the resolve that the council acknowledges receipt of the issues report, thanks staff for its efforts to produce the report, and agrees to delay consideration of the decision on whether to launch a PDP on the topic of vertical integration until January 2010. Is there anyone who is there any discussion in that on that motion? Is there anyone who objects to a voice vote? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Please state. Any opposed? Please state your name. Any abstain? Please state your name. The motion carries unanimously. Okay. Thank you on that. Sorry to have to cut it short. Olga and Chuan Li, is there anything of urgency that can't be reported via then that you haven't already reported via your written updates regarding the CCNSO?
No, myself, more than what is written in the status report.
Thank you.
Yes.
Chuan Li, you have anything?
Nope.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to skip over any questions people might have on the written status updates. If you do have those, send them to the list, and we'll make sure that they get answered. Going to any other business, we have the request for a policy process steering committee working group team face-to-face meeting, and Jeff Newman, the chair of both the PPSC and the PDP working team, is on the call with us. Jeff, would you please provide a brief overview of the request? I think most everybody probably has already read it.
Sure, and I'll make it real brief because I know you're running way over. And all of it is in the document. You know, we've been working since, you know, the good part of this year on designing a new PDP process that reflects the recommendations that were given by the Board Governance Committee. And, in fact, even on this call, I heard some examples where there was some conflict between what the bylaws say and what the council has chosen to do. And I think in each case was certainly beneficial for the council to do what it did, but it just shows the importance of actually getting and rewriting those bylaws and making the timelines, is one example, more realistic. I think if there's one thing that the work team really wants me to stress is that we believe that this work is and should be of the highest priority for the council, even though there's a lot of issues going on, that the work of this work team is really going to ultimately affect every future policy development process and clear up a lot of the complexities that exist now with the new structure and having the old rules. So, in short, really, the face-to-face was actually discussed and approved by the group, by the work team, in October. What is not clear is what the process is to actually get this face-to-face meeting going. The work team was under the understanding, maybe erroneously, but has the understanding that really, or never understood, that the council was going to play a role in approving all of these types of administrative requests. Now, that could be wrong, and the council can decide otherwise. So please understand that this motion is only urgent precisely because there is no process for setting up face-to-face meetings. Ironically, it is a subject in the PDP process that the work team has discussed and will come out with recommendations on, certainly pending the outcome of this council discussion. But please understand that this is not last minute. It's not that we haven't thought of this. It's not that we're intending to rush it through. It's been something that's constant since October. There's not unanimous consensus within the work team to have this, but there is a rough consensus and strong support. Most of the work team, the issues are on logistics as opposed to the idea of having the face-to-face. So I'll leave it at that and answer any questions.
Okay. Now, Jeff, if the request is specifically for a date in January, and if a decision is not made, if a decision is not made today, or it's the motion it's delayed to make a decision, how does that impact the January date?
Well, I mean, that's a really good question, and it all depends on whether the council is actually needed to approve these meetings. If it doesn't require council approval to have these meetings, then we may just go forward and have it. Again, the council needs to at least discuss that. The council, at least on this call, should make a statement, an affirmative statement, if this is the way it believes. It should make the affirmative statement that it needs to approve all face-to-face meetings or that it does not need to approve face-to-face meetings. So, Chuck, it depends. Either case, you set those dates, and it's critical that we have those dates because of the timeline that's in the request itself. I won't go over the whole timeline, but if our goal, which it is to have a report out to the community by Nairobi, or at least out to the PPSC, which would also be made out publicly available, if that's the goal, then we need those dates. If we can't have those dates for a face-to-face, we'll have to figure out some other way, either marathon conference calls with actually a WebEx program that really works, so you can actually do work, as opposed to Adobe Connect, where you know it's pretty static documents. We'll have to figure out a way, and we've been looking at that already, to figure out a way to do these marathon sessions to still make those dates. If we can't do the face-to-face on those two dates in January, we're not going to have a face-to-face prior to Nairobi.
Thank you. Denise, now, you provided some budget information, and I appreciate that very much. I sent some additional questions, though, that would help the council. And by the way, let me confirm that I think everybody knows there is no process for this. There's no requirement that the council approves it or doesn't approve it. It's my own personal opinion that because it involves budget dollars that will be used to implement GNSO improvements, that it's important that the council at least weigh in on this on this recommendation at a bare minimum. And one of the questions I asked Denise with regard to the budget information that I forwarded to the council list is professional services has taken up a huge amount of the GNSO improvements budgets to date. And so I ask how much is going to be needed for professional services to the end of the fiscal year, because that really gives us a better picture of what funds are available under GNSO improvements. Denise, were you able to get any information on that?
Yes. Although it remains an estimate. The seven work teams and committees and additional sub-work teams that are created to discuss the various GNSO improvements implementation efforts require staffing, generate additional work that that needs to be covered by staffing resources. And so there is all of that work that needs to be supported. And so that takes up professional, consulting services and dollars, in addition to the genocide improvement-related work and issues generated by the board's the board's involvement and their committee activity. That is a bulk of the cost, and it is it's difficult to give an exact figure because, as I don't need to tell all of you, depending on what each work team does and requests of staff and how quickly they move forward with their work, that all factors into how much professional services are required. An issue with this requested face-to-face meeting, staff always tries to be as supportive as possible to the council's work. And as Jeff mentioned, there is no specific rules or process for considering a face-to-face meeting. But as Chuck has noted, council guidance would be very welcome on this. Ultimately, staff needs to determine expenditure of funds and even the budgeted amounts that are noted in this and other categories are always predicated upon the availability of funds, revenues, and expense forecasts and all of that. So all of that has to be factored in. So if the PDP working group, bring this to a close, if the PDP working group meets face-to-face, gets their work done a lot faster, then that will require less ongoing support if they were to continue to discuss this matter and their work was drawn out over a longer time. So there's a trade-off there. But the significant, 75% or more of the remaining funds that are earmarked for GNSO improvements will be spent on staffing GNSO work team and committee activities and the resulting efforts that come out of that.
So if we accept that 75% figure, how much would that leave, going forward, how much would that leave for the total GNSO improvements budget for the rest of the fiscal year except for that 75%?
Right. Well, what I'm saying is of the $114,000 approximately that we have left, for the next 6 months. I'm estimating that, about 75% to 80% of that would be on professional services.
So there's only, if you subtract that out, the GNSO improvements budget just has about $20,000-$30,000 in it that could be used for things like this and other GNSO improvements implementation like the one we just approved.
Right. Well, so the toolkit of services would be considered as an ongoing cost that would be built into the GNSO's budget going forward.
Oh, so it would not come out of GNSO improvements.
Right. That was not our expectation.
Okay, that's helpful.
When we put this budget together, we had no idea what the outcome of all these implementation efforts would be or what a toolkit would contain.
And what about website improvements, which is probably another recommendation that's going to be coming through fairly quickly for that. Is that going to need to come out of the GNSO improvements budget, or is that will come out of other sources?
We're anticipating that there'll be a small amount coming out of GNSO improvements to augment the in-house work that is being done. But most of it we're expecting right now will be done in-house. And, of course, with the GNSO improvements as well as other GNSO efforts, there's a significant amount of support that's provided from the general infrastructure funds in IT and so forth. So in this case, the IT funds and IT staff will provide the resources necessary to carry that out.
Okay, that's helpful. Now, my last question is, what's a ballpark estimate or range of what the face-to-face meeting would cost?
So Marika gave some initial estimates, and they were, I think, very much at the high end. For example, if we're, it included a full rental of a meeting space and all of the attending requirements. If someone loans us a free space, that'll cut down on expenses. Depending on how many members actually come, depending on when it's scheduled, how far in advance we can book the tickets, all of that, of course, affects and how quickly the work can get done to minimize the number of hotel nights and all of that affects the cost. So Marika can remind us all what the general estimates were, and I would sort of caution you that it's a very high end cost, and we would expect it to come in significantly less than that.
Okay.
Marika, do you have that figure handy? I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, this is Marika. So if we take into account, we had some offers indeed from people offering a venue and possibly as well preferential rates for hotels. I think the estimate would be that it would lie between $1,300 to $2,200 per person. And as Denise said, this is at the high end. We're just taking it widely. This is based on previous experience of organizing similar size meetings in Washington, D.C., which is the location we're currently looking at. So that's the estimate. So I'm looking at eight people that would be funded to attend the meeting.
So it's possible that funding this request out of GNSO improvement funds could use most of the estimated funds needed for the rest of the fiscal year, is what I'm reading in that estimate. Probably talking, $15,000 to $20,000 for this meeting, and we're talking about $30,000 to $40,000 left when you take out other costs like professional services. Now, are there other sources for funds for this?
For the face-to-face meeting?
Yes.
No. And again, I think we would expect the cost of such a meeting to come in, much closer to $8,000 to $10,000 if we're able to, get free meeting space and book ahead.
Okay. My apologies to everybody for kind of monopolizing this, but I kind of wanted to get some information that I think is important for us to have. So that's why I did that. Hope that's okay. Anybody else want to jump in the queue on this?
Yeah, this is Tim. Yep.
Oh, boy. Let's see now. We got Tim and who else?
Stefan.
Olga.
Okay.
Jamie.
Olga check.
Jamie.
Okay.
I got
question.
Olga. I got Jamie. I got Stefan. I got Tim. Who else?
Wendy.
Wendy, thank you. All right, let's start with Tim. I'm sorry, I'm not right at the moment looking at the Adobe Connect, so I'll try and get there.
Yeah, this is Tim.
You check.
Go ahead, Tim.
Okay. The biggest concern that I have about it is the travel funding by far. That's going to be the biggest part of the expense. And the fact that we have, I don't know what it is, 10, 12 different work teams or working groups right now going on at the GNSO Council, all doing what I would consider to be very important work. If we didn't, we wouldn't have formed them, and they wouldn't be doing that work. The whole prioritization issue is a difficult one and one that we're trying to work on. So my concern about what precedent this sets is that where are we going to get the funds if, multiple other work teams or working groups decide that they need or want to have a face-to-face meeting? And I don't think, Denise or whoever can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that kind of thing was considered within this year's budget. We say we don't have a process for approving these kinds of things. That's true, but somewhere along the way there needs to be someone who steps up and says, this is going to fit within the budget or it isn't. And then maybe that's even something that would need to go to the board if we're talking about possibly, $100,000 or more in additional travel funding in the budget that wasn't planned on. I'm not sure the council can even just say, yeah, this we approve that and want staff to consider it. So I think there's, you know, it's far more reaching than just this one particular request, and we have to think about it more on a long-term basis.
Thank you, Tim. Stefan.
Thanks, Chuck. Jeff asked a question, which was, is it council's prerogative to even decide whether there's a face-to-face meeting, whether a face-to-face meeting should be allowed or not? I would say yes, very much so. I think the people that elect us look to us to be custodians of at least the way that ICANN's money is spent with regards to GNSO stuff. And this is clearly something that has been requested by the GNSO. It's something that's serving the GNSO community. It's something that is in the GNSO restructure agenda. I'm frankly surprised that we're even asking the question. I mean, this thing has just, you know, it's like turning over a stone in the garden, finding lots of bugs underneath it. I'm suddenly realizing, I don't know if everyone else is in the same boat, that sometimes there's decisions that commit funds, GNSO restructuring funds, and people don't even think that they should come back to the council. You know, it can happen between staff and the work group. I think it's definitely, my answer to Jeff's question is definitely yes. It should be considered by the council. It should go back to the council, and it shouldn't happen without the council knowing about it.
Thank you, Stefan. Olga.
Thank you, Chuck. This is a comment in my role as chair of the OSCCSG working team. I have the same concerns that Tim has, and I would like to support what Stefan has just said. And also, having a certain budget for this improvement process and for the working teams, I think that if there is a budget, it should be split equally or... So, among the working teams that we are working, I understand the need and the benefits of a face-to-face meeting, and I can tell you that if we had the chance to do a face-to-face meeting in our working team, perhaps we could have solved many of our consensus problems that we had in the last month. So I would like to, if there is a budget available for this, to be distributed equally among the different groups.
Thank you, Olga. Jamie.
So, further question. Thanks, Chuck, for your clarification before, but I missed the information, or you said that there are many $1,000 left in the budget, and which is the period of this budget? I mean, which is the term of the fiscal year?
End of June.
Okay, so this $20,000 would be left for funding face-to-face meetings until the end of June. That would be if the council convenes that it will fund face-to-face meetings, then we will have only $20,000 until the end of June. Is it correct?
Well, again, keep in mind we're dealing with estimates, but as long as we understand that, yes, that's correct. But keep in mind that budget wasn't set aside for face-to-face meetings. It was set aside for GNSO improvements in general, and we have a whole bunch of those coming down the pike here. And as Denise pointed out, some of those funds will not come out of this particular budget, but some will. So I thought that's basic information we need to know as we consider this.
Yeah, okay. I'm just making a general guess, a general estimate here, that if every group or every team that is working on GNSO improvement would ask for face-to-face meetings, then we would have to record some of these. This amount of money, I say, okay. Well, I sure favor the PDP process, but also the OSC, it's important that the green groups that are working now. So just for clarification, my question was just for clarification. Okay, thank you.
No, thank you very much, Jamie. That's good. And by the way, I'm one, as I recall, and Denise knows this, back when before the budget was approved for this year, I questioned the amount of money they put into the GNSO improvement plans because I thought it was far short of what might be needed. But that's behind us now. Wendy.
Two questions. One procedural. Do we have an estimated duration for this call? Because we're now way over time, and I would like to be able to vote on motions that are coming up, but concerned that I won't be able to stay on for a lot longer.
Right. Well, I think once we wrap this up, there's just a couple informational items that just take a minute or two. We do need, and we've got staff update on plans to ensure safety and security in Nairobi. We at least need to spend a couple minutes on that. I did receive some information via email. I haven't received permission yet to forward that to the council. I'm waiting for that. So that's, you know, we've got this one and then the Nairobi update and then just a couple reminders for our next meeting. Estimate and time, I hope in 10 minutes, but we'll see. Anything else, Wendy?
Quick on my... Yes, so I want to second what the earlier councillors have said about planning and budgeting. I think it's absolutely a matter for council to take up because the opportunity costs of spending money on one council activity means that other council activities can't be funded out of the same budget, and council is the group that has the sort of overview opportunity to measure and balance those. So I think it has to be a council decision. And on that, I think I agree with Jeff that it's an important issue, I don't think that the way this one has been, the issue of the face-to-face meeting for it has been managed has not seemed fair to the newer members of council and to groups who weren't so well represented in earlier stages of this work team. So I would be prepared to vote against funding for this meeting.
Thank you, Wendy. Alan.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, I think the comments that if we were to fund this, then it would open it up to demands from every PDP working group and every other working group we have. This one is somewhat unique in that there are funds allocated towards it. In general, there are not funds allocated towards the various other working groups. So I don't think this sets any precedent at all, and I think it should be considered in its own merits and not because of a thin edge of the sword type argument.
Thank you, Alan. Wolf.
Yes. Well, make it briefly. So I'm. I think I was also in during the discussion on PDP working team level. I was searching around, you know, who could be responsible to take a decision. So, and I'm happy that, and I'm satisfied that the council is going to take this up, and because it's only, you know, one part of the general discussion we will face in the future. Because, as I remember correctly, in the toolkits we also have implemented a potential tool for requesting funding of meetings in the future. So that will lead us now to a general discussion about this. Okay, regarding this specific meetings, and so as I'm a member of the PTB working team, so I was fully supporting that meeting because of the reasons Jeff pointed out. And we also discussed it in our constituency, and I can tell you I got support also from our constituency, so I can vote in favor.
Thank you, Wolf. Jeff.
Yeah, so I'm glad the council is discussing this, and I think it's important. And frankly, I don't disagree with all the comments that have been raised, including the ones from Stefan and others about this is important for the council. The one thing I would ask is that if that is your view, that the council basically commits to making these determinations and these decisions on a fairly quick time frame, and that doesn't necessarily mean making those decisions only at a meeting. Now, I don't know how you do that in your own rules of operation, but to consider ways to address these requests or requests for any type of funding in an expeditious manner, because waiting a month or a constituency having the right to delay it another month, meaning 2 months, is just it's probably going to lead to too much bureaucracy and not effective decision making. So that's one comment. The second comment, which is actually more critical, is if the council decides not to endorse this meeting, which I fully understand, I would request some funds to get an effective web tool so that we can have conference calls and do actual restructuring of documentation online real-time, as opposed to Adobe or some other programs that are out there that we've been forced to use. And I don't want to have to go through a long process to get those funds. I mean, I can find out how much it is. Sure, it's not that much, but please don't stand in the way for me getting better web tools so we can progress the work of this work team in as fast a manner as we can.
Denise, is it possible that the that request could be explored with, I don't know if it's with the IT staff and their budget or whatever,
sure,
in the near term?
Sure.
Thank you. And then, Jeff, with regard to your first comment, I'd like to request that you send your suggestion to Ray Fassett, who's chair of the constituency operations team, because it fits right into their court in terms of council operating procedures.
Okay, Chuck, can I just ask, I will do that. Can I ask a question about what you said? So Denise is going to research it. Do I have to make a formal request for funds to get better web tools for this meeting? Because I still want to have, if I can, that week, have the marathon conference calls if we can't do face-to-face. But I don't want to have to go through a long process and make a formal request for money for funds from the council to get better tools. So help me with some guidance on that.
Sure. Well, I'm going to put it right back in Denise's lap. Is there a way, if something is found, to do this more quickly without a lot of bureaucratic process?
Yes, if it's doable within our, you know, IT structure and our available budget, we can do it.
Okay.
So the expenditure of funds to get this work done is not something, it's something that staff manages and doesn't have to go through a bureaucratic process to do.
So, and if you could keep us informed.
Sure.
On that.
We're very curious to see whether we can do this, and then of course if it's successful and a better tool, we would certainly want to, you know, keep the council apprised of that. And
And if nothing else, maybe if one looks promising, we could use it on a test basis. Some software's offered like that, and Jeff and the PDP team could be our guinea pig. So.
But I don't want to overstate or give people the impression that this right at this point is a viable substitute for a face-to-face meeting. I don't know that to be true at all. The licensing may be too expensive. I think, you know, we also may have some serious bandwidth issues. We've got people literally all over the world with varying degrees of bandwidth access that may not be able to use this tool or be able to participate. So there's really a whole range of things that need to be explored, and I don't want people to think that this is definitely a viable substitute to a face-to-face meeting.
Thank you very much, Denise. Thank you, Jeff, and thanks for everybody here. Now, we need to deal with this issue right now. This is another one that came in late, so we need an exception to procedures to even consider a motion to support this request. I don't know that we have the right or not whether our approval is required. Obviously, some of us think it is, some of us think it's not. But regardless of that, are there any objections to an exception to our procedures for motions in this regard? Okay. Now, we don't have a formal motion.
I don't know if it's properly in the queue as an objection, but did you see Mike Rotenbaugh's email as he got disconnected?
Yes, he got. Is it on the let me see.
Sent to the
it's on the
list.
Screen.
It's on the wiki. I mean, excuse me. Adobe.
It's on the screen, Chuck.
Oh, okay.
Andre is disconnected. Mike Rodenbach is disconnected. And
where is the email? Is that on our regular email list? No,
yes,
I don't.
Chuck, it is.
It's on the council list. Yes.
In the council.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not seeing it. Somebody want to tell me what it says?
I can do that
sure.
For you, Chuck. This is Tim.
Go ahead, Tim.
Okay, Mike writes, I remain opposed to the PDP work team face-to-face meeting or even council consideration of it. Given no consensus in that group for such a meeting and lack of enough information regarding budgeting and other priorities for council to make an informed management decision. BC is not prepared to vote on this issue in this meeting without further information from staff and discussion within our constituency.
So if I interpret that correctly, he's opposed to any exception in terms of even voting on this. Do you agree with my interpretation there?
Yes. Yes, that's what I would say.
He's saying it's from the BC. So
Chuck, can you ask?
Yep.
Stefan, go ahead.
Is Zahid on the call still?
Zahid?
No, he's had to go off, Chuck.
Okay, thank you. So he's not. So, unfortunately, we can't ask him on that. Anyway, because of the time here, I'm sensing that there's not. We can't really proceed because of the procedural argument there. I'm assuming that it was a BC issue and not a personal request to object to that. I don't know what else I can do on that. I don't think any of us should use our personal opinions to hold things up from a procedural point of view. But if our constituency or stakeholder group indeed supports what we're doing, that's obviously a practice that we have honored. And I think we have to honor it here.
Chuck, this is Jeff. Can I ask? I mean, it sounds like you don't even have a quorum to vote. Can I just ask that a note come from the chair, you, to me or to the group with the sense of the council so I can at least go back and say, look, the council doesn't really – they couldn't vote on it, but the general feeling was that they didn't want us to have it. Maybe some of the reasons, and then we'll move on from there. It'll just, rather than it remaining an open question, it's just easier for me to go back to the group with that.
I will do that. It'll probably take me, it'll probably be late in the day when I'm able to get that done, but I will do that, Jeff. The reason being is I'm on another, supposed to be on another call right now, but it may be over by the time Olga and
That call's been rescheduled.
It hasn't been rescheduled.
Yeah.
Good.
Because
of what I'm doing, I can't stay on top of my email and having trouble enough with the Adobe Connect. So, all right. So I think unless there's any objection, we'll move on to the what we will make. Just some information items. The update on safety and security
Chuck.
In Nairobi. What?
Chuck.
Yes.
Yes, Chuck. It's Jamie.
Yes, Jamie.
You would not present a motion to the web tool that Jeff requested.
That is correct.
To authorize the.
That is correct, Jamie.
Authorize it, Jeff.
And the reason for. Go ahead.
I mean, you would not authorize the staff to proceed to. Find a tool to I think Mike Rodenbaugh would not object. He has no objection to these specifically, okay?
Agreed. And in fact, I don't think a motion is needed for that. Denise has said staff will act, work on that. We don't need to. She's already committed to that, so I don't.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's going to happen. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Isn't Jeff asking for a sense of things now so that he could go back to his group?
That's what he wants me to communicate in a message, and I will do that. Do people want to give their sense? That's fine.
Yes.
Okay. Bill, go ahead. You start it off.
Okay. Well, I mean, again, it's not a vote. It's just a statement that I very much agree with Stefan about this being a GNSO decision. And Avery has raised a number of concerns within the group about the ways in which these issues are being addressed in terms of participation and equity and so on, which everybody in NCSG feels pretty strongly about. So I think you can probably assume that we are not supportive of allocating the funds for this particular meeting in this particular time, especially given the lack of real consensus within the group that's asking for it.
Thank you. To keep it real brief, let me just call on some people. We don't have any for the – so we've got NCSG and we've got the registrars that have spoken. Anybody from the commercial stakeholder group want to speak to this?
This is Christina. I don't believe that there's a formal stakeholder group position, and this is not an issue that has gotten thoroughly discussed in the IPC. My sense of the sentiment is that, you know, subject to having appropriate guidelines in place, that we would probably support the allocation simply because we see it as a means to expedite the development and adoption of new PDP.
Thank you. Caroline or Edmund, you want to talk for the registries?
Yeah, I can talk. Very similar to what Christina said, I think the registry stakeholder group similarly hasn't fully explored all the issues, but on balance, given the importance of this work group, I think there would be some support for moving ahead with the meeting request.
Thank you. And Wolf, you've talked on behalf of the ISPs. Did you want to add anything else?
No. All was said. So ISPCP is supportive of that meeting.
Okay. Unfortunately, we can't bring it to a vote because of the procedural requirements, and there was an objection to making an exception there. So I'm not sure how a vote would come out. There certainly are mixed views. Anybody else want to comment on this? Thank you very much. Item 7-2 then, the safety and security in Nairobi. The first response I got from Jeff Vickers was that, you know, they really had nothing they could share at this time. I responded that I thought that was really unsatisfactory and that would send a very bad message if that was the case. We don't have an update for today. I did early this day. I don't know if it was Eastern time or Pacific time. Jeff did send me another message with some pretty good information in terms of what's happened so far. Because he's probably not even up and working yet, or if he hasn't, he hasn't responded to my message. Unless staff can tell me that I could go ahead that was on that email, can assure me that it's okay for me to forward that email, I need to wait until I get that approval to forward it to the full council, and I will work on that. It was much better than a, hey, we can't say anything right now message. There are still some unknowns, but, it did clarify what's been done so far and provided some helpful information. So what I will do, and Denise, Liz, if you can help me get the approval to forward that email, I would appreciate it. Let me tell you, let me go back to it. Let's see. Denise was on it. I guess Denise and Liz, you were both on it. So if you can help me make sure that we find out whether I can forward that email to the council, I would very much appreciate that.
Yeah, we've asked Jeff to clarify that.
Yeah, and I did too. I responded to him, but he sent it to me at 1:29 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, so he may not be up and at him yet today. So since he worked late. So if there's now just again, anybody want to comment on the safety and security issue?
Chuck, it's Christina. I just wanted say this only so that Glenn knows, my decision as to whether I'm attending Nairobi, and I will need travel support if I go, my decision is really dependent on that information. So the sooner I get that information, the sooner I can make a decision.
Yeah, I understand, and I communicated that in my message when I said I thought this response was not sufficient, the first response I got. So the second one is better. So thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, Alan.
Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I think At Large is in the process of making a similar request to what GNSO did. If ICANN is not in a position or does not feel they need to specify that travel will be provided to and from the airport and to and from the venue on a wide range of times, then I think they are either asking for people to decide not to come or people to make funding decisions that they take ICANN funding and then at the last moment cancel out and ICANN will be out the tickets. I think neither of those is very satisfactory.
Yeah, and Alan, let me stick my neck out a little bit here. One of the things in the message I got this morning before our meeting was that that kind of transportation would be provided. Now, whether it's a wide range of times, I can't answer that because it's not in the email, okay?
Past experience says we need to get the details.
Yeah, I understand, and I have made that clear. And thank you. Anybody else? Okay. I want to call your attention, please, to the item 7.3, the AGP limits policy that just came out. So we'll take that up if there's any discussion on that report in our 7 January meeting. Make sure you distribute that to your group so that we can be prepared to discuss that if there is any discussion on that on 7 January. Last of all, we won't spend any time on the GNSO project status list, but if you have questions on that, it's been updated. It has been out. The updates have been out there for a week, and certainly bring those up on the list if you have them. My apologies for the length of the meeting. I think the time spent on the STI report was essential, so it kind of made it unavoidable, I believe. But thanks for your patience and for those that were able to stay on the call this long. Is there anything else before I adjourn? The meeting is adjourned.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thank you.
Bye.
Happy holidays to all.
Happy holidays. Bye.